Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 14. Very familiar chapter to most of us today. Beginning in verse 1. And here the Lord is speaking to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. And as he speaks to them, he's speaking also to you and I this morning. And he says here to these disciples, "For you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here together in this house of worship. We ask you, dear Lord, today that you might speak to our hearts by the Spirit of God, that today the Scriptures and the Spirit today might teach us and guide us and direct us in what you'd have us to see in your Word today. We ask you now that as we endeavor to go forth, you to give thy servant the unction of the Holy Spirit, you would bind anything that would distract us from looking to you. And for all that's said and all that's done, may we praise you today in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Dr. R.G. Lee, the former pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church for many, many years, was probably one of the most eloquent and articulate speakers that you could ever hear. And I heard him a few times when I used to go up to Count Zion at Myrtle, Mississippi, and boy, he could preach very eloquently and very articulate and used to give great descriptions. And I heard him preach on heaven at Count Zion on an occasion. And as he preached, boy, he unveiled and unfolded the great truths of the Scripture concerning heaven. But I heard later on that he said right before he died that he had preached on heaven many times, but he had never been able to do it truly justice. And you know, today I think that's probably true, even as eloquent and articulate as R.G. Lee was, to expound upon what God has prepared for those who love him today. As Jesus speaks here in this passage of Scripture to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion, and he begins to talk about heaven. He talks about a place where God dwells and where he's going to dwell and where we yet shall dwell with him today. And this morning, as you look into the Word of God, you will find today that the Bible speaks many times about heaven this morning. And so I want you to just think with me today a little bit about this place that God has for us called heaven today. I read the other day that the Gallup poll said that 80% of Americans believed in heaven, 60% believed in hell, but only 6% believed they were going to hell. I got to thinking about that, and I decided that probably everybody that's talking about heaven not going there this morning. And Jesus here, as he unveils this wonderful place for us, I want you to just look into Scripture today, and we're going to talk about that this morning. First of all, I want you to understand that heaven is a real place. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not something today that was a simple story today to tell people and a myth this morning, but heaven is a real place this morning. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, as he writes that church corrected many errors within the church. He has this to say in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians about something that happened to him in his life this morning. And you listen carefully to what he says this morning. If I can get all these pages unstuck, okay, listen to what he said. He said, "It is not expedient for me to doubtless glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven." Paul says here, I was caught up into the third heaven. And Paul here is identifying and teaching us today that heaven is a real place. And as you read the Scripture, you'll find that constantly we find that Paul talks about up. And, you know, John said in the book of Revelation, he was caught up into heaven. Somebody said, well, you know, that shows how ignoramus Christians really are. Because if you are in one spot on the globe and you look up, you're looking in a different direction than you would be looking at if you were in another spot on the globe. Now, that might be true today, but every scientist would have to tell you today that there's one special thing about north today, and that it is a fixed position. If you have to study compass today, you have to take compass training, you'll find that the one fixed position is true north this morning. If you today look today in the Scripture, I believe that you'll find as you study the Word of God that heaven is in the north. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, we find that here the Bible teaches us something very important about heaven. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter number 14 this morning. The Lord here talks about that, in verse number 14, verse number 12, it said, "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer," speaking here of the devil, "son of the morning, how great thou art cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven." The devil said, "I'm going to ascend into heaven. I'm going to make war with the Lord. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Where today did the devil say that he was going to ascend to? Into heaven. Where did he say that he was going to sit upon his own throne and exalted above the throne of God? In the sides of the north. I want to tell you this morning, heaven is, the Scripture tell us many times, to the north. In the book of Leviticus, as God gave the law through Moses this morning, we find that as he commanded the people to kill the sacrifice, he said, "You kill it on the north side of the altar," signifying, I believe, on which side he was himself this morning. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 75, as you look here, and God speaks in Psalm 75 this morning, and he says this in verse number 6. Listen to what he said. He said, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south." God said promotion, and promotion only comes from God. He said it doesn't come from the east, it doesn't come from the west, and it doesn't come from the south. Only one direction left, and that's north. A lot of people today, I think, will be surprised when they talk about the eastern sky. I want to tell you, you better be looking toward the northern sky. I want to tell you this morning, Paul said, "I was caught up into the third heaven, in the sides of the north this morning." You see, we have the atmospheric heaven today, where we can see the birds as they fly. We have tonight celestial heavens, and we can see the stars. And then we have this morning the third heaven, and which is the abode of the Lord this morning. Someone has said, you can see the first by day, you can see the second by night, and you can see the third only by faith. I want to tell you this morning, heaven is a real place. Heaven is not a figment of my imagination. Heaven today is not something that somebody made up to give us motivation today to live for God in this world. Heaven today is a real place where Jesus lives, where the Lord lives this morning. And so heaven is a real place. Heaven today is a place where the saved go at death. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, and verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul, as he talks about heaven today, he says these words, "Therefore, we're always confident." Well, I like that. Paul said, "I'm always confident. I'm always full of assurance. I don't have any doubt. We're always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Paul said, I know that while I'm living in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. "For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm glad today Paul said that there's coming a time that when we leave this body, when we go away from this body this morning, we're going to be present with the Lord today. A lot of folks think we have soul sleep. That is, you go into the ground and you sleep there under the resurrection. Well, your soul may be there and your body may be there, but I want to tell you this morning, your spirit goes to be with the Lord this morning. We find that when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying there crucified between the two thieves, what did he say to the thief? He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And there's a lot in that today. But understand this, Jesus died and the thieves died. And Jesus said to that thief, this moment of time, today, right now, you will be with me in paradise. You see, Jesus is saying, you're going to leave this body. They'll take your body and bury it in the ground, but your spirit will be with me in paradise. What did Jesus say? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit today. We find that in the book of Acts, as Stephen was being stoned because he had been accused of blasphemy by those people of his day, and as he was being stoned, and as they laid their coats at a man by the name of Saul's feet, the Bible says in I got to find my place here. As Stephen was being stoned, and as they're stoning him, what did he say? What did he say right before he died? Listen to what he said. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And when he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. But in verse 56, he says something very interesting. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Stephen said, I'm fixing to die a martyr's death. I'm fixing to be stoned, an innocent man. But I see heaven opened and the Son of God. And he said, Lord, receive my spirit this morning. You see, one of these days we're going to move out of this body. One of these days, we're going to leave this body. When we leave this body, where are we going to go? If you're a Christian, the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now think about this. Several years ago, I was listening to the radio, and a man was preaching, and he was talking about when his father died, and his father had asked him to conduct the services. And he said he really didn't know what to say, but said the Lord gave him something, and he said he preached, his dad's name was Curtis, and he said he preached on the subject, Curtis doesn't live here anymore. You know, one of these days, if we go down to the funeral home and we look in that casket, we can say, they don't live there anymore. They're present with the Lord this morning. That body will be buried in the ground, awaiting the resurrection. But thank God, I don't live there anymore. Thank God, I've went to be with the Lord. Thank God, he's made that provision for us this morning. The moment of death, the child of God goes to be with the Lord. I read several years ago about a scientist that wanted to conduct some experiments. And he set up a very delicate scale on the deathbed of people who were dying. And he said that there was one thing that they noticed, that a small amount of weight was lost at the moment of death. He didn't know what that was. I'm going to tell you what it was. It's the spirit leaving, going to be with the Lord, far as I'm concerned this morning. I'm not a scientist. But when you leave this walk of life, you go to be with the Lord. I believe we're going to know our loved ones. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul, as he writes that church, and listen carefully to what he says in those verses. A lot of times people ask me, are you going to know your loved ones in heaven? I believe you are. I really do. I believe you're going to know who they are. And I'll get there in just a minute. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly. Now, what's he talking about seeing through a glass darkly this morning? Well, you know, in the days that Paul wrote this, they didn't have mirrors like you and I have this morning. But they took polish, they took brass, and they would polish it until they could get it shiny as they could. But even though the shiniest brass wouldn't give you a great image and a great reflection this morning. But Paul is saying that we see through a glass darkly. We're looking in a mirror. We can't see everything. But he said, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be known even as I'm known. You see, I believe this morning that we know, we'll know our loved ones then. I don't know if we even know each other here sometimes. You know, when Samuel went to anoint the king, and when he got down to Jesse's house, and he began to look at all those strapping boys of Jesse, and the Lord said, uh-uh, it's not him. Oh, but Lord, look, man, look at him. And he said, Samuel, you don't understand. I don't just look on the outside. I look on the heart. You see, this morning the Lord looks on the heart this morning. And, of course, we know that he called David to be the king, chose David to be the king. We know the great sin that David committed with Bathsheba and the murder and all the cover-up and the lies. But, you know, in all of that, there was a baby boy that was born. And that baby born got sick. And David prayed and wouldn't eat and fasted and put on sackcloth. He prayed that God would allow that baby to live. But the baby died. And when the baby died, David got up, came into the house, took a bath, put on clean clothes, and said, I want something to eat. And everybody was puzzled, said, man, said, while the baby was alive, you were fasting. You were in sackcloth and ashes. You were praying. And said, all at once, he's dead. Now, what's going on? What did David say? David said, well, while he was alive, perhaps the Lord let him live. But now he's gone. I can't bring him back, but thank God I can go to him. Amen. I'll paraphrase a little bit, but that's what he said. He said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him this morning. Paul talking about the second coming in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, said that we shall not prevent them which are alive and remain, but we shall be caught up together with them in the air. When the saints were dying, as you read through the Old Testament, and Moses was sent to and went away to die, you know what God said? God said Moses is going to be gathered to his people. Moses, you know that mama that took care of you, that put you in that little ark on the river, that preserved your life and brought you to the place where I could use you? Moses, you're going to see your mama. Moses was gathered to his people. When it talks about Abraham as he died in Genesis chapter 25, said he was gathered to his people. Find that the same thing said about Isaac and about Jacob today. You see, today the body is decaying in the ground, but they went to be it with the Lord today. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 11, listen to what Jesus has to say this morning upon that. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 11. Get there real quickly. I'm hurrying as quick as I can. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. They'll be fellowshipping in heaven. Jesus said they're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you're going to know who they are? Well, you know, one of the main things you think about on the Mount of Transfiguration when the disciples went with Jesus upon the mount and Moses and Elijah appeared there. They'd never met Moses and Elijah. They'd been dead many years, but they knew who they were. I believe we're going to know each other in heaven this morning. I believe we're going to know who each other are. There's joyful activity in heaven this morning. Somebody's got the idea we're going to sit around on a cloud playing a harp. That'd be awful boring to me today, but I don't believe heaven's boring. I believe today we're going to have music in heaven. I believe we're going. It's not going to be boring music. We're not going to sit around singing anthems all the time. Luke chapter 19, and as the Lord gives a parable there about as he left people here to do, as a nobleman went away and left people with talents. And it represents our Lord today, and he said, occupy. I don't mean we take up space. It means we labor for him. You know, the Bible said we're going to help the Lord rule and reign upon this earth. You ever thought about that? The saints of God are going to rule and reign upon this earth. Oh, Lord, one day I want to be sheriff of Monroe County. Rule and reign. That's what it said, isn't it? This is what it said in Revelation chapter number 7. I like this. Revelation chapter 7. The Bible there is. Brother John's given the great revelation. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15, I believe it is. And the kings of the earth and the great men, and the, that's chapter 6, I'm sorry. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among him. We're going to serve the Lord. You ever thought about that? We're going to serve the Lord. So what are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the Lord's job. Maybe he's got something for me to do. You know, I can carry a tune, I just can't unload it. But I got to thinking one day, I may direct a choir. You say, ah, Brother Bruce will direct the choir. No, the Bible said the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So I may be directing the choir in heaven. I don't know what I'll be doing. But the Lord's got something for us to do. We're going to have joyful activity in heaven. We're going to live a wonderful, glorious place that God has prepared for us today. I bet y'all going to be in shock when you get there, and I'm directing too. Amen. It's a place of absolute perfection. We know more about what's not going to be there than we do what's going to be there, to be fair with you. You read about the no mores of heaven, no more pain, no more death, no more tears. No more, no more, no more corruption, no more thieves, no more darkness. Wasn't that a great thing to think about today? You know, when you begin to get to our age and my age, and you begin to get up every morning, and sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to get up. I told him if the tornado had come through at night, I'd have been wiped out because it took me longer than a tornado to come to get out of bed. You know, no more pain. Don't ever have to go to another cemetery. Don't ever have to conduct another funeral. No more. Well, it's going to be great, isn't it? Absolute perfection. You know, Paul said that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, it's far better. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. You see, today heaven is the presence of all that is good and the absence of all that is bad. Heaven is everything the incredible mind of God can conceive for you and I this morning. Much better. It's a much better place. This world is marred by sin, but we still see great beauty. Somebody brought me a picture of a rainbow that was in the sky not long ago. What a beautiful rainbow. You know, and you see some great beauty that God paints in this world. But God's got a greater world for us today, a much better place this morning. I got to thinking about, I used to work with a gentleman, and he had a young boy. And finally, they sent a note home from school, and I guess the boy was 8 or 9 years old, and said that you need to carry Andy and get his eyes checked. So he took him out to the optometrist, got his eyes checked, and he said, man, he's blind. And he got him a pair of glasses, and he said, man, I felt so bad. He said that he got them glasses on and said he walked out and said he got to look. And he said, Daddy, the grass is green. It's got blades. He said he began to see the world that he'd never seen before. Hallelujah, we're going to see a beautiful world one of these days that we've never seen before. Absolute perfection this morning. Jesus is the crowning glory of heaven today. Jesus said, where I am. Where I am. See, we're looking to see Jesus when we get there. You see, home is where love is. You know, when you used to, when I had to travel some and be out of town for a week or two, and when I got home, I run in, I said, boy, hugged up the recliner and the lamps and all that and all. I hugged up Desi. She's the one. That's the home right there, folks. When we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 24, I want to read this verse to you real quickly. We're nearly through. Listen to what he said in John chapter 17 and verse 24. Father, I will that they also which whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. You know what the Lord's will is? That his people be with him this morning. I read that verse and I thought about Carrie. You know, the Lord's will, he wanted her. He wanted her to be with him. He wants you and I to be with him. He's the crown and glory of heaven today. He's what heaven's all about. Face to face with Christ my Savior. It'll be worth it all. And lastly, I want to tell you today, only the redeemed are going to heaven. You have to be heaven born to be heaven bound this morning. Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 14. Listen carefully to this. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Huh. Those in heaven have been washed by the blood of the Lamb this morning. It doesn't matter today. A lot of people talk about, God told me not long ago, he said, I've been Baptist bred, I'm Baptist born, and I'm going to be Baptist dead. Well, that sounds good, and that's okay with me, but I want to tell you, you can be Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, you can be anything you want to be, but the main thing, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad that today we need to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, Jesus said on an occasion, sent his disciples out, and they came back and they were this thrilled. They said, man, even the demons have to obey us. And he said, you need to quit worrying about that and just rejoice that your name's been written down in heaven. The greatest recording ever made today, folks, was when they wrote my name down in glory. Amen. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only the redeemed, only those washed in the blood are going to make it to heaven. You can trust in a lot of things today, but I want to tell you, if you're trusting in anything but the blood of Jesus, you'll never get to that place that God has prepared for us this morning. You'll never get to that mansion that Jesus has waiting for you, except through the blood of the Lamb of God. All right, you'll stand with me. Brother Bruce, me and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message. You just for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name we pray. Amen.